Hello, this is Michael. Thank you for listening to the podcast today. I do really appreciate it. You know, if you'd like more information, you can visit me online at michaelottministries.org. And while you're there, you'll find my email address on top of the page. You can contact me for prayer requests or any other reason. Thanks again so very much for listening today. And as we always do, it would be my great honor and a great joy to pray for each and every one of you, as I do every day. Heavenly Father, thank you so very much for all who hear these words. I pray the same prayer for them that I pray each and every day, that their lives would be heaven on earth and every situation in their life would be overflowing with your grace and your goodness. Father, I pray not only for them, but for all the ones they love and all the things they care about. And I give you praise and glory through Christ Jesus, my Lord and Savior. Amen. The message today is called, What Do You Have? And we'll begin with a few scriptures, starting in 2 Kings chapter 4. Now the wife of one of the sons of the prophets cried to Elisha, Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord. But the creditor has come to take my two children to be his slaves. And Elisha said to her, What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in your house? And she said, Your servant has nothing in the house except a jar of oil. Then he said, Go outside, borrow vessels from all your neighbors, empty vessels, and not too few. Then go in and shut the door behind yourself and your sons, and pour into all these vessels. And when one is full, set it aside. So she went from him and shut the door behind herself and her sons. And as she poured, they brought the vessels to her. When the vessels were full, she said to her son, Bring me another vessel. And he said to her, There is not another. Then the oil stopped flowing. She came and told the man of God, and he said, Go sell the oil and pay your debts, and you and your sons can live on the rest. Then we go to Matthew chapter 25, verse 29, where Jesus said, For to everyone who has, will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. Then Matthew chapter 14, verse 13. Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Now when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, This is a desolate place, and the day is now over. Send the crowds away to go into the villages and buy food for themselves. But Jesus said, They need not go away. You give them something to eat. They said to him, We have only 5 loaves here and 2 fish. And he said, Bring them here to me. Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass, and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked to heaven and said a blessing. Then he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds, and they all ate and were satisfied, and they took up 12 baskets full of the broken pieces left over, and those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides the women and children. As I was praying today, Father spoke to me, and he asked me to listen and write and publish his words for all to hear. Here are his words. He said, My loved ones, you are not lacking in any way. You have already been given all things. The abundance you seek is already provided, and lack only exists in your mind. The thoughts you dwell on today become your experiences in the future. If you think you don't have enough, you will experience that just as if it is real. As it is written, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Remember, I created you in my imagination. And the thoughts I thought about you before the world began is the reason you are living. The most powerful thing that exists is imagination. The widow with the small amount of oil thought she didn't have enough, so that is what she experienced. She saw lack and Elisha saw abundance. She borrowed all the vessels she could find and the oil stopped flowing when she ran out of places to contain it. It's the same with you. If you have no place in your mind and heart for my abundance, then the oil stops flowing. If your mind's containers are full of lack, where can I put the oil? It's the same with the disciples. They saw just a few loaves and fishes, but my beloved firstborn saw abundance. This is what the parable meant when my son told you that to him who has will more be given, and to him who has not, even what he has will be taken from him. It's all in your imagination. If you imagine lack, you will experience lack. If you imagine abundance, then you will experience abundance. Abundance is the truth, and lack is a lie. Those who have ruled over people for generations understand this, and they have used it to control the world. They tell you there's a lack of water, a lack of oil, a lack of food, a lack of everything you can imagine. Because you have believed it, you've experienced it. But they will tell you there's an abundance of sickness, disease, and poverty, and you've been trained since you were born to believe the lie, so you experience the lie. Take a moment to think about this. They tell you there is a lack, but somehow they always have enough to sell to you at extortion prices. It's time to awake and know the truth. I created everything in abundance. Think about how many fish are in the oceans. How much of your world is covered in water? It is obvious there is no lack. Lack only exists in your mind. You can breathe all you want and never run out of air. Billions of people on the earth all at once, and still no lack of air to breathe. Enough fruit drops to the ground to feed the world. Farmers are paid not to grow crops, just to help control the narrative. My loved ones, this is why my beloved son told you to look at the birds of the air and the flowers in the field. I told Abraham to look at the stars of the sky and the sand on the seashore. When you really look at nature, all you see is abundance. You don't see birds starving, and you see fields full of beautiful flowers that overcome even the harshest drought to bloom again. To overcome what seems to be lack in your life, you need to set your minds on things above and not below. You must learn to focus on the abundance and not look for what you don't have. Do this intentionally. Think about every object you see today and ask yourself, how many more of these are there? Think of it this way. Once there was nothing but me. All that exists was created by my imagination and my voice. If you have imagination and breath, then you can create a universe. You were made of me. There is no power in me that is not in you also. As my firstborn told you, the Father in me does the works. You were empowered because you were born of me. Everything creates after its own kind. You are exactly as I am, but you haven't believed it yet. My loved ones, change the way you perceive things. You see an apple with a few seeds in it. I see a seed with unlimited apple orchards. You see a single acorn. I see an abundant forest. The disciples saw a few loaves and fishes, and my son saw a feast with much left over. The answer was in his imagination. He gave thanks for what he had, and that little amount became the whole feast. So you ask, what do I do? You fill your mind intentionally to overflowing with the abundance you see around you, and take no thought about tomorrow's needs. This is why my son said to take no thought about tomorrow. Worrying about tomorrow comes from an imagination filled with lack. You can't enjoy abundance today while worrying about tomorrow. Giving thanks comes from an imagination that knows that it is my good pleasure, not just to feed you, but to give you my whole kingdom, and the kingdom was already given to you. This is also why you were told to bless and not to curse. You can't turn off darkness by cursing it. Light overcomes darkness, and light changes everything. If you go about fighting against poverty or evil or anything negative, you only empower it in your mind and create the reality that more of it exists. If you curse those you perceive to be evil, then they will never be able to come to the truth and live in the light. This is why you were told to bless those that curse you. By blessing them, you turn an enemy into a friend. Your perception of them has the power to change them. But some will say to me, didn't your son curse the fig tree? Well, I ask you, what did the fig tree represent? Its leaves were used to cover perceived nakedness in the garden called Eden. What my son did was prophetic. Never again would any person have to cover their mistakes or see themselves as naked or uncovered, because all mistakes would be removed when he took them to his cross. The tree of life would now be available, and no one would ever have to wait on fruit to be in season. But that is a lesson for another day. My beautiful loved ones, if you fill your mind with thoughts of abundance, there will be no room for thoughts of lack. You remove darkness by bringing in light. You don't have to go to war to overcome anything. So fill your minds with the truth of abundance. Give thanks for what you have, and more will be given because it already belongs to you. I have already given you all things to freely enjoy. My lovely ones, the days of begging are done. You're being conformed in the image of my firstborn. You don't beg when you understand that you're already exalted above every need. A servant may ask for food, but a son or a daughter goes right into the kitchen and eats. Know who you are. Did you ever read where my firstborn son begged me for anything? Did you see him cry out to me to heal the sick that they brought to him? Did you see him screaming, "I bind you, Satan, and I curse this, and I curse that"? No, you didn't. He never once cursed a disease or fought against perceived evil. He understood how the kingdom works. He told the blind man to see because sight is the truth and blindness is a lie. He told the man with the withered hand to stretch forth his hand because being healthy is the truth. Seeing people whole is what removed the lie of sickness. He told Lazarus to get up, proving that even death is a lie and everlasting life is the truth. You can't cure people if you see the sickness and not see them cured. If you want people to be whole, you must see him as already that way. It's even better for you in your day, because when he arose from the grave, he brought you with him into heavenly power and authority. There is nothing above you to pull down. You don't have to fight the enemies that he already destroyed. You don't have a law demanding your death every time you make a mistake. You have the law of the Spirit of life demanding that you live and be free from all things that could ever hinder you. My glorious children, if you and I are one, then how can you be in lack? You are in abundance but have been deceived into living in much less than you have. You've already been blessed, and all you need to do is be reconciled to the truth, and that truth is, all that I am and all that I have is already yours. So take the kingdom I gave you and be abundantly healthy and abundantly prosperous. These are the words he gave me to share with you today. I sure hope you're encouraged by them. Until next time, grow rich in his grace. I love you each and every one. I really mean that with all my heart, and I'll see you soon.